You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Monica McNutt. Frank Isola. Harry Lyles Jr. Mina Kimes. There it is, the music.
Oh, boy.
Stafford versus Burrow this Super Bowl. But they don't play against each other. They play against each other's defenses. You guys know this. This isn't your first rodeo. However, Jalen Ramsey versus Ja'Marr Chase. Now, that is a matchup. Who you got in this matchup and what it means for the Super Bowl next.
Media party at Mina's house. Is that your email on air?
Mina, this is your busy week, right?
Friday
this
night.
Is your Super Bowl. This is like your Super Bowl.
Super Bowl?
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about it.
We'll get to it in a second. NBA trade deadline 47 hours away. We have action today. Indiana Pacers trading DeMontis Sabonis and more to Sacramento for Tyrese Haliburton, Buddy Hield, and Tristan Thompson. So Sabonis, a two-time All-Star, double-double man going to Sacramento. Tyrese Haliburton, 22 years old, later this month. Untapped potential there. Frank, what does this trade accomplish?
Come on, you know you're going to get fired up when two teams that are currently sitting in 13th place in the respective
conferences. How dare you, Frank?
Are making a big deal. But listen, Sabonis has been a two-time All-Star. You mentioned double-doubles. He's got 34. Only Rudy Gobert and Nikola Jokic have more. I like the trade for Sacramento. They have the longest playoff drought in the NBA. I think it's 15 years and counting. So I'm putting Sabonis with De'Aaron Fox. You know what? Maybe if they can make a run the last 30 games of the season, could they get into the 10th seed? Why not? You know, you only really have Portland ahead of you, New Orleans, so it's doable. I like the trade for Sacramento. I think they got better today.
Monica McNutt?
I do agree with Frank on the Sacramento side. When it comes to Indiana, I know folks are scratching their head a little bit, but they just got rid of Caris LeVert. You bring in Buddy Hield, who's a terrific three-point shooter. Well, I should say streaky three-point shooter. And then if you buy Tyrese Haliburton as a guard that you actually can build around, but then there's also Malcolm Brogdon and Tristan Thompson alongside Miles Turner. I'm not 100% sure what Indiana is doing, but I like it for Sacramento.
Mina Kimes.
I'm stunned. I thought that everybody would be railing on the Sacramento side of this, and I find myself alone now. And not just because of the usual, you know, Kang's gonna Kang, but because this trade doesn't make sense to me from a timeline perspective. First, I love Tyrese Haliburton. He is young. He is talented. He is second in the NBA on catch and shoot threes, according to Kirk Goldsberry. And as you mentioned, he is the kind of player you build around, not trade, and I understand Sabonis is excellent too, but again, going back to the timeline question, even if they edge into the tournament, they're not going to do anything, so I don't understand why you would trade away a young talent, a talent like Haliburton. It just doesn't make sense.
Harry Lyles Jr.
Yeah, it feels a little bit too on brand for the Kings to trade the guy that a lot of people felt like was going to be your franchise cornerstone. If you're a Pacers fan today, you kind of knew that they were going to be moving on from Sabonis at some point or another. I think a lot of people thought it was going to be during the offseason, but if you told them it was going to happen during the season and you were going to get a player of Tyrese Haliburton's caliber back in return, I think Pacers fans are kind of happy if this is the direction the rebuild is going to go, even though it doesn't look like a perfect picture right now.
Monica, you're giving me something here. What's not driving?
Guys, Malcolm Brogdon, who signed a pretty big deal with the Pacers versus Tyrese Haliburton, I'll take Brogdon, please and thank you.
Okay. Or why not both? Just do everything. Anything's possible at the trade deadline. Blazers making a trade today that I want to get your take on. CJ McCollum. And more to the Pelicans, Josh Hart, and a whole lot more going to Portland. Woj reports this clears up space for Portland to build around Lillard because there could be $60 million free now this summer, but it breaks up Lillard and McCollum, which was the present and future for Portland for the last half a decade and had some success but never totally got over the hump, of course. Monica, what does this mean to you?
I applaud the Pelicans side of this. I think C.J. McCollum is a piece that they need in their team that's looking to get into that play-in spot. Everybody makes a big deal of Zion Williamson not being there, and not that that's not a deal that should be made, but they've got pieces and talent in that organization. On the other side, if Woj hadn't tweeted that out, that was not my thought at all. It looks to me like Portland's prepared to blow this thing up. That's a big gamble, assuming that you'll be able to use that money to attract somebody to play alongside of Dame.
So this deal means more to you than you would think. On the surface, that it means they're breaking up McCollum and Lillard, but they're also potentially moving on from Lillard. Mina, is that how you read it?
I'm not so sure. I mean, when it comes to Lillard and the Blazers, you know, fool me once is how I feel. I'm never going to say they're going to move on from him. I do think, you know, we spent so much time talking about breaking up this backcourt that now that it's finally happened, it feels a little bit underwhelming. I mean, you guys remember at one point we were talking about potentially trading C.J. McCollum for Ben Simmons, who we're going to talk about now. Yeah. So to get back, you know, Josh Hart, who's a nice player, it feels a little bit underwhelming. And then on the Pelican side, I hear you, Monica. McCollum obviously fills a need for them, given how bad their three-point shooting is. But again, this is a team we're talking about going from maybe like 10 to 9 or 10 to 8. All still feels a little bit marginal. Gosh, I'm such a buzzkill.
Yeah, really sad. I mean, Monica did this a few days ago with the Clippers. They were in the 7 and 8 seed. You're like, who cares? I mean, getting into the playoffs matters, doesn't it? It has to matter,
it matters. It matters for an organization like the Pelicans, yes. The Clippers, my argument was that they were just 2 years removed from real championship talk. That's all. But the Pelicans, it does matter.
Harry Lyles Jr., Portland, breaking up Lillard and McCollum and sending them to New Orleans. Your take?
I think that this is a good trade for both sides, to be honest with you. I think from a Pelican side, I think that the goal here is to just get into the postseason and do something with them. McCollum gives you with that perimeter shooting, and he's a veteran leader. Hopefully, when you get Zion back, this team looks even better. From the Blazers side, I don't think that they're going to move on from Lillard. I think that this is a move that, again, it's kind of like the Pacers. While it looks incomplete now, you're going to have cap space. I think they like what they have in Anfernee Simons. Mm-hmm. And I think with Josh Hart, at least, you have one of the better rebounding guards in the league. And I think that's a good piece to put next to Damian.
Frank, let's examine this trade first then from Portland's side, okay, breaking up McCollum and Lillard. But you hear Woj say this is to free up space so Lillard stays and we can get the rebuild or the reload on. Do you believe that?
Yeah, you know, they did make it to a conference finals. I think they're making a huge mistake. I think, you know, the relationship between Damian Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers, it's over now. Let him move on. You know, Kevin Garnett years ago didn't want to leave Minnesota. They made it to a conference finals. He was an MVP. You know, his, you know, connection with the city and the franchise was tight. He had to be told it's over. You need to move on. And to this day, he says, I wish I went to Boston sooner. Damian Lillard, if he wants to play in games that matter, he needs to move on. Why he doesn't want to go to Philly and play with Joel Embiid, I don't understand that. I think he wants to play for either the Lakers or the Warriors. I don't know how he's going to make that happen. I think they're making a big mistake. I think he's making a big mistake. It's over in Portland. He needs to move on, and they need to get assets for him while they still can. Mm.
One more story here. It's trade deadline adjacent, because who knows if this is really going to happen, but we've talked about it for 5 days in a row, and the report has changed every day. So now, Brian Windhorst report, absolutely a chance. James Harden for Ben Simmons could happen. Frank Isola, this is your town. All right? We've heard every side of this story for the last week, as I just said. Do you believe anything right now with 47 hours to go before the deadline?
Well, we know this. The two teams are talking. So if you're talking, there's a chance for a deal to happen. And the deadline isn't until 3 o'clock on Thursday. If the Nets can't get the deal that they want, they believe that this season, when Kevin Durant comes back with James Harden, Kyrie Irving, maybe the mandate will change in New York City, we still believe we could take the Eastern Conference. And then this summer, we'll explore that. But if they get a deal that they like, why wouldn't you make the move? Now, Harden has missed games recently because of a strained right hand. He's a left-hander. And now his hamstring is hurting him. I'm not going to question the legitimacy of his injury. If he says he's hurt, he's hurt. He's questionable for tonight. So is he staging a one-man wildcat strike? I have no idea.
You're not going to question it. You're just going to say it right now on international television. He's a left-hander, and this is his right. He needs both hands, right? I mean, you still need two hands for it.
He's left-handed.
When you say a deal that what deal are you talking about? Ben Simmons, you're talking about Maxey, what are you talking about?
Yeah, and I know everyone's going to faint when I say the Nets would love to have Maxey, but it doesn't look like the Sixers would trade him. I'm sure they're talking Danny Green. Would you sell it for Seth Curry and a first-round pick with Ben Simmons? Maybe Joe Harris would be involved. I think there's a lot of moving parts right now. And again, you still have just under 48 hours until the deadline.
Monica McNutt.
The question is, do we buy that this could happen? I 100% buy that this could happen. I have maintained all year, and it would be hard-pressed to convince me otherwise, that even though these guys are all saying the right thing in terms of respecting Kyrie's choice, everything that glitters isn't gold. And we see when guys team up, they are on an absolute mission. The injury to KD, although I expect him to return to MVP form when he returns, but Kyrie's absence and the rest of the East, yep, it's not a guarantee. James Harden hasn't won. He's trying to win now.
Right, but when you say that the Kyrie, all that glitters isn't gold, you're saying that we're suggesting maybe Harden could be frustrated with Kyrie. Do you believe Isola's idea that Harden may be on wildcat strike and he's not playing tonight because he doesn't want to put himself out there for this team right now?
I will say this. James Harden has a history of making what he wants to happen, yeah, happen.
Mina Kimes, how do you view it?
We have literally seen this movie before. I'm not saying the dude is on strike, but if you have watched James Harden play basketball over the last month, he does not want to be there. And from the Nets' perspective, I think there is reason to get a deal done, which if you had asked me this a few months ago, I would have said absolutely not. But look at the situation and look at sort of what we don't know. James Harden very likely wants to go to Philadelphia anyways in the offseason, so you might as well get a return for him now. And he has been playing poorly. Look, peak James Harden is absolutely better than Ben Simmons. There's no question. But he has been far from peak this season, not just because of the changing rules. Since KD's been out, he's been shooting 29% from three. And a Ben Simmons, KD, Kyrie combo? That is very intriguing for the
I want to get Frank on that in a second, but first, Harry Lyles.
Yeah, see, I feel like everything that everybody's touched on here has made, like, that's what makes this so intriguing. But to me, one of the things that Woj keeps coming back to in his reporting is that it really seems like neither side really wants to budge on what they want. And to me, I think that's ultimately probably going to be that prevents this from happening this week. Though I do think that if you are the Sixers, you know, you could probably wait another year, see what James Harden does in the offseason, then get him through for either free agency or a sign and trade. And then if you're the Nets, I understand that James Harden's mad. Unless he does a hard force out, why not wait this thing out and try
to give those three another shot? I mean, the Ben Simmons may be available right now, and maybe your window to win right now. Right. Would you play, if you're the Nets and you bring in Simmons, Frank, would you play him at the five?
Absolutely, because first of all, he could guard just about every position in the league. It'll be tough against Embiid and Jokic. I don't have to worry about Jokic. You'd be a great defensive team. I'm with Mina. I'm of the belief that Ben Simmons' career is absolutely salvageable. I get the whole free throw shooting thing. There'll be less pressure playing in Brooklyn just from the spotlight standpoint. It's never going to happen for him in Philadelphia. And one thing, let me just be clear about James Harden. He does have a hamstring injury. It affected him in the playoffs. All I'm saying is all of a sudden he's missing games, and it's right on the eve. This is their last game tonight against Boston before the deadline.
Monica, last word.
I will also add this. While we're talking about the net side of this, don't forget about the noise in terms of wasting an MVP season for Joel Embiid.
Right.
Like, there's two sides of this, and as stubborn as that side has been in terms of moving Ben, this feels like a good trade.
Buy or sell on the other side.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
So there was some availability, media availability,
pre-Super Bowl this week, and of course, this was Michael Irvin asking the question, which is great that you had one of the greatest wide receivers of all time, asking Jalen Ramsey, does he want to shout out Ja'Marr Chase for the Super Bowl? And of course, Jalen Ramsey says, yes, I want to shout out Ja'Marr Chase. This matchup is just so good. But is it the best move for the Rams defense to have Ramsey one-on-one with Chase the whole game? Mina, buy or sell this matchup as the key to the entirety of the Super Bowl and whether you would put Ramsey on Chase the whole game.
It's definitely the most entertaining matchup, and I am buying Ramsey shadowing him. Look, normally putting a single cornerback on Ja'Marr Chase is a recipe for barbecue chicken. There's a reason why Joe Burrow is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL versus man or single high coverage. But Jalen Ramsey is not your normal cornerback. He's one of the rare few that have the athleticism, speed, and smarts to cover Ja'Marr Chase. And if he does so, that frees up other defenders to handle the Bengals skill players and spy Joe Burrow. I would not be surprised if he plays more on the outside than he normally does. And it is going to be a fight to watch.
Ari Lyles Jr.
I'm buying this as well because the Denver Broncos actually did something similar to this earlier this season when they put Pat Surtain on Ja'Marr Chase and were able to allow everybody else to look at the other receivers that Cincinnati has because they are very talented and it gives a lot of different defensive looks. I think Raheem Morris is going to look to do the same thing.
Frank Isola.
I like the fact that Jalen Ramsey wants to do that, but if you had Kyler Murray, Tom Brady, and Jimmy Garoppolo on the panel today, they all would have said the key is stopping that big dude in the middle, Aaron Donald. That makes everything go for the Rams. And if you can't block him and keep him out of the backfield, you ain't.
All right, I hear you there. On this particular matchup, would you put Ramsey on Chase for the entirety of the game?
Absolutely. No, the one thing that's great about the NFL, the best cornerbacks want to defend the best wide receivers. In the NBA, the best players all avoid each other. At least in football, it's like, I remember watching Deion Sanders against Andre Rison. He said, yeah, I'll defend him. It was great. That's what you want to do.
Frank, you needed another. I don't mean any disrespect, but in the NBA, they're terrible. They're the worst. Monica McNutt on Ramsey versus Chase.
I mean, it's definitely a matchup that has you salivating. I mean, you look at, since week 12, the guys that Ramsey has done this against, Devontae Adams, Metcalf, I mean, Justin Jefferson, Mike Evans, like, he's that caliber of guy, so it makes sense. However, he did go on to say that whatever the defensive scheme calls for, he's willing to
right.
do.
But who's got the advantage then? If it's Ramsey or if it's Chase, who you got? The advantage Ramsey in your opinion, Mina?
I think advantage Ramsey insofar as Joe Burrow will not throw in that direction if that's what ends up happening, which is why you do it if you're the Rams. But it's also because they have such excellent other skill players. T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd are very
Harry, good. I'm just going back to that Cincinnati-Denver game that you invoked there. Cincinnati won the game 15-10. Ja'Marr Chase, one catch, 3 yards, thanks to the Surtain matchup that they went with. Good stuff from Lyles. We'll move on. Buy or sell two. A coach in question in college, Brian Harsin, 1 year at Auburn, went 6-7, and now 20 players and 5 coaches have left the program. This has risen to the college president, the university president. People are commenting, and the school says they're talking to everybody, including players, and will make an informed decision on Harsin. Harsin reached out to ESPN and characterized any attacks on his character as bull bleep. Harry, what are you hearing? And can you keep a coach after 20 players and 5 coaches leave?
Tony, I'm buying that this is incredibly on brand for Auburn. You can't keep a coach around that has that many people upset like this. Look, the one thing that Brian Harsin has tried to do since he got to Auburn is strictly be a football coach. That's in the reporting that we've got at ESPN by Pete Thamel and Chris Lowe, that he wants to be a hard-nosed football coach. Some players have taken that better than others, and the school is hearing back about that. But the one thing that you can't do now in the SEC is only be a football coach, and that's why he's in his position today.
So the reporting is he's leaning hard on being a hard-nosed football coach, and people don't like it. That's a fireable offense, Harry Lyles?
Not necessarily, but I will say, so for example, there was one player who said, hey, I didn't come here to have a friend, I came here for a football coach. Another player said, hey, he is a good football coach, but I don't like the way that he treated me personally. And you can't have that when it comes to this newer generation of player that understands that, hey, I am deserved to be treated well as a person.
Frank Isola.
That hard-nosed coach came this close to beating Alabama. He's got an $18 million buyout. I think he deserves more than 1 year. We know the way the transfer portal works now. The team had a losing record. A lot of guys are thinking, you know what, it's not me, it's him. I'm getting out of here. I'm giving him at least
a year. 20 players and 5 coaches leaving is not enough for you, Frank, to say
not in one
it's
year.
Time to cut bait with
not
the
in one year.
Monica, how about you?
I've been close to a similar situation in my past, and it was very unfortunate to see a coach that didn't necessarily get his fair shot. Now, what is interesting about the scenario is Auburn, has hired an investigative group. And if something is revealed that he deems he should be fired, then fine. But if it's just a stylistic thing,
Mina Kimes.
Okay, so I don't know what's going on at Auburn, but I do know this. One of those coaches who left was their defensive coordinator, Derek Mason, who, according to the school newspaper at Oklahoma State, where he went, the Ocali, shout out, great name, took a pay cut. And I know this. If coaches are leaving to take pay cuts, something is not right at the current situation.
Even that, irreconcilable differences, is that enough to fire a coach that where you got players and coaches not
supposed
on the
to be a manager?
$18 million they have to give him. That's a big divorce settlement.
He's got to beat Georgia and Alabama. There's that, so.
Mina Kimes, Monica Nutt had to beat Lyles and Isola. There's that. Showdown. Frankie, Harry, 2 minutes.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is why you guys got in business. Kyler Murray scrubbing all social media, not following the Cardinals, no mention of the Cardinals anywhere. Harry Lyles Jr., something or nothing?
Tony, this is nothing. Giannis did this with the Bucks in 2020, and they ended up winning a title together. Arizona and Kyler Murray will be fine.
Guy Sola?
See, I defer to the social media expert on this one, but I will say this about Kyler Murray, with all due respect. Considering the game that you had against the Rams, you should probably be keeping a very low profile. For a great player, that was a bad
game. That instance, with all due respect, kind of floats. But I'm just looking here on his social media. I saw the mentions around the horn. And Harry has a photo of him on around the horn at the right time. 2 points, Lyles. We'll move on. Tom Brady. Did he not rule a comeback on his podcast yesterday? I feel good about my decision. We'll know in 6 months. Never say never. Frank, do you believe Brady could come back from retiring after retiring from coming back?
Why not? First of all, it is his podcast on SiriusXM, so he's looking to generate a little bit of buzz. I still say, why doesn't he go to San Francisco? He's from that area. Wait another year for Trey Lance. Have Tom Brady be your quarterback.
Harry?
I don't think he's going to. I think that obviously you have to expect this from a competitor like Tom Brady, but I don't think he wants to disappoint his family and go back to playing football, and I don't think that he wants to go back to that Bucks, what's going to be somewhat of a rebuild.
You never want to disappoint 49. Your family. Frank, you've disappointed the family 49. Today. You lost in showdown. FaceTime, Harry Lyles Jr.
It is Black History Month, and I wanted to share a piece of my own personal black history from my family. My great-great-great-grandfather, Joshua Lyles, free man from Tennessee, migrated up across the Ohio River to Indiana and helped found one of the first black settlements in the state of Indiana. It was named after him, Lyles Station, in 1886. And now if you find yourself in Gibson County, Indiana, or at the National African American Museum in Washington, D.C., you should check it out.
That's amazing, Harry.
Very cool.
Great story. I love stories like that. And it's great that wonderful that you get all that information. I told you about my grandparents. They used to work right outside the dock here, doing bananas, Pier 17. And now I do TV every day from Pier 17.
Right.
We'll see you tomorrow around the horn.